Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We want to thank you for this opportunity that we have, that we can come together to break the word of God, to feast upon your word, to understand the revelation of sonship, that we might know more and delve into the mysteries of God that you are wanting to give us, wanting to share with us. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we may understand the total significance of the revelation of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We just commit ourselves to you this morning. We commit our minds, our thoughts. Father, we commit our emotions, our desires, we commit them into your hands and ask for your preeminence in every aspect of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm very happy to be able to be here today.
I'm glad for we are able for here today.
For me personally, I think the visit has been very profitable. I'm talking for myself now.
For me, I know say this visit here, so this Kawakaya so is very profitable for me and for now.
As I have been privileged to share,
as God give me the opportunity to share with you now,
I have also been learning. Because as I speak those things that I'm sharing with you, some of those things are new things to me.
Because as I talk, which I talk with Tona, so some of which I talk, now new things and to me said,
so we are both learning together.
So we all learn together.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to go into some of the basic configuration of the tabernacle, I think, to start with anyway.
I want to go inside, then see the way we just begin with. The small thing that we go there in BC, in a class. I want to begin for talk with them inside.
I have said earlier that the, or I said probably said many times, that the tabernacle is a prophetic picture.
Yes. I mean, I've talked before, and I don't talk at all the time, say, the tabernacle, na something where, na prophecy of God.
There are only three temples that God ordained or God anointed to have built.
Na three temples, and they, where God built.
Any other structure that is built and labeled as something for God as a church?
Any other thing apart from that three things a day where God been planned for, not to God,
is a counterfeit.
Now to not to God in your business landing.
God only ordained and anointed three tabernacles.
God
three houses.
Three tabernacles.
Hallelujah.
Nine God.
The first one was the tabernacle of Moses.
The first tabernacle, Nabi Moses' tabernacle.
The second one was the temple of David that Solomon built.
The other one, the tabernacle of David, Solomon.
And the final one is the human body, the human soul.
The final one. Now, mortal man body, we sold them.
Now, how do we know that these are the only three the only three structures that God has?
How we gonna know say that
ordained three, or made?
That three things that the normal God don't make.
Because each structure was dedicated and consecrated by fire.
Because all the three structures they make, then God consecrate them and then be dedicate them with fire.
Not fire made by man.
Not a fire where mortal man they
before. The fire that was sent or dropped from heaven.
Now fire where come on at heaven.
When they loaded up the brazen altar with the wood.
When they put wood on that brazen altar.
And when they prayed, fire fell down from heaven upon that brazen altar.
Fire come out at heaven for kind of that brazen altar.
Now, the commandment was they were never to let that fire go out.
What did God been tell them say? He said, "Not forever allow that fire there for us."
So, 24/7.
So, from morning to night.
7 days a week.
All the 7 days are inside the week.
Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody was feeding that fire to make sure it didn't go out.
Somebody been there when they look after that fire. They
Hallelujah.
The fire not out.
That is indicative of the blessing of eternal life that God gives you.
That one is a show. The blessing where God give you for live so take over.
Fire is not only something that changes the composition of something, but fire produces energy.
Fire, not something where just a change something how we've been there. But that's something where they be strength.
And we realize the energy by the heat that it puts out.
And we didn't know the
Hallelujah.
Energy or the power where that fire they give by how it hurts.
And if that isn't enough for you,
and if that did not do
John
for you,
said in John chapter somewhere in chapter 1, 2, or 3, I think.
John talks inside his book from chapter 1 or 2 or 3.
When he was talking about his calling in election.
When he was called, I will talk about the election.
They were asking him if he was the Christ, by the way.
People, I mean, they ask him if he not the Christ.
And, of course, he said, "I am not the Christ."
Remember, he been talk say, he not to the Christ.
For there is one coming after me, and he will be the Christ.
One person they bring for come
Hallelujah.
After me. That one person they, that he not the Christ.
He says, "I indeed baptize you with water."
He said, "Me, I they baptize you now with water."
But the one coming after me.
But the one who will come after me.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
That one day, he will baptize you now with the Holy Spirit.
And with fire.
And with fire.
Hallelujah. So fire. Not only is an element of change.
Not only something where they change.
But it is indicative of the power of God to change.
But it also means to say, it will give you power. The power
Hallelujah.
That God will give you for make you change.
And you will, if you desire to be like God.
If you want to be like God.
You will find yourself very often, if not all the time, in fire.
You will find yourself most of the time, if not so all the time, inside fire.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul, one of the apostles, Peter or Paul, I think it was Peter, he says, "Think it not strange according to the fiery trials that come to try you, as though it was some strange thing."
Peter said, "Not surprised. For the
Hallelujah.
Thing that we're going to come for being fire for the test you face. Instead of scratching that one day, because that part of the process."
So one of the attributes of this tabernacle.
So one thing where this tabernacle will be
is tribulation.
Now tribulation. Now boku trouble and wahala.
Now of course none of us like to talk about or think about tribulation.
Of course. Boku Paris or nobody don't like to talk about.
But unfortunately. Well,
anyway.
But unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately.
Fortunately or unfortunately, whether you like
tribulation is part of the program, it's part of the package.
Trouble, trial, or if you call it wahala. You
Bible
know, God in business, now part of God in process.
The Bible says
the
that
Bible
you
says,
must enter into the kingdom of God through
much.
The
Bible says, if you want to enter inside God's kingdom, you get for go through boku, trouble, and wahala.
Boku, trouble.
And wahala.
And wahala. Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tribulation is something that you and I have to learn to embrace.
That kind of wahala day, you know, that thing that when you do is for righteousness. So.
But we
if
have to.
For righteousness, you get for embrace, you get for all that stronger one.
But we have to embrace it with the right attitude.
But we get for all lamb, Now, with the right attitude.
Amen.
Brethren, we don't go around looking for tribulation.
You know, you work for trouble or wahala.
I have found that I don't have to do that.
Me, I don't realize it. Me, no go for, I don't go for big event trouble for myself.
Tribulation has a way of finding me.
Wahala, get way for find me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tribulation is a way of life.
Tribulation.
One of the apostles
said, God,
one of the apostles says, count it all joy.
If trouble or wahala meet you because you decide for follow God,
I have
you
to
say you for glad for that kind of trouble day because that God in your kind thing will meet you.
I have to admit that I am not quite there yet.
I therefore tell you, I say, really, I know this day yet too.
Because there are many times when I find myself in tribulation that I'm not too joyful about it.
Because sometimes then they, when they trouble and they go meet me, I know they're glad for that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm sure you probably are always happy when you find yourself in tribulation.
I believe say una king gladi. Unewe una kifel una self panekai situation de pan. That kind of trouble or wahala de.
If that be the case with you,
if that's all the peace with you,
you can lay hands on me and pray for me.
You can una king can lay hands on them, then una pray for them.
I'll take it. So, the structure in itself is proclaiming and pronouncing the redemption of God and the perfection of the humanity through tribulation.
Okay, so this structure, yeah, the structure of the tabernacle, rather than the talk about, and what did they do? And they bring the aspect of we human, we mortal mankind, and how God will walk inside we for bring we come to perfection when I implant.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the terminology that the Bible uses for that change that comes is the term metamorphosis.
The word where the Bible used for that change day, when they come through wahala or through tribulation for sake of God, now metamorphosis, when me for say, you the change.
The English word metamorphosis comes from the Greek word metamorpho.
That word is an English word. When a word will come up, one word when said inside Greek, where they call metamorpho. All together, with the old, that the same thing, it means for change.
And the best example that we have of that is when the worm goes into its catalyst or its cocoon and goes through a process to come out on the other side as a butterfly.
The best example where we go talk about for that kind of change day, now where that small worm, that fat one, where they
hallelujah,
change, for make it be, when you look at where it don't change down, it's a butterfly.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
We can say amen for the worm, right?
We're going to say amen for that change the way that worm day.
Amen.
We're changing the butterfly.
Yes.
So even the worm is the worm is prophesying the revelation of God in the aspect of humanity changing from darkness to light.
Not to
hallelujah.
Not to worm. That to move. That small fast to move. Where they change the butterfly. So he said we can praise God for that to move. Because it represents me and you. Where God is walking inside me. Why not be happy God yet? They were happy God. When you begin change, God will want to walk inside you for change, for become what God wants you for.
In fact, there was in the Old Testament, God called Jacob a worm at one time or another.
In fact, when we read the Old Testament, one time
hallelujah,
where God called Jacob to move.
Hallelujah. I don't know that I would want God calling me a worm, but nevertheless, that's what he called Jacob.
I not believe say I will let for make God call me to move, but anyway, that's what he called Jacob.
The dimensions of the tabernacle,
the different level than the tabernacle,
they are in cubits.
Then they inside cubits?
Cubits.
Then they measure them by cubits.
There was the Jewish measurement.
Now that in the nine, I saw the Jewish people them in the measure.
The Hebrew measurement.
Now then I saw the Hebrew them in the measure.
And you cannot change it to feet on inches or into millimeters or kilometers or whatever the other conversions are.
Now saw them in the measure. Then there's the Hebrew and the Greek them. You never change them to feet or millimeters or any kind other terminology when they use now for measurement.
Anytime you change it to another configuration, you lose the symbolic meaning of the number and what it represents.
What to make you never change that thing there from cubit to anything? Now because anytime when you change them, you did change the meaning of what in the number be. Because the number them, then they therefore then get meaning. That symbol for something.
Both the Hebrew as well as the Greek alphabet is also their numbering system.
Hebrew and Greek alphabet them. They know they say A B C D for English. Then get that symbol for number.
So every number has a specific meaning or a specific counterpart in the spiritual arena.
So all the number them have a specific meaning. They mean something.
They mean something, yes. Praise the Lord. The number one.
Number one.
Is the number that describes God.
Number one. It means God.
The Bible says there is only one true God.
The Bible tells we say, now one great true God now we get.
Hallelujah. Well, what it really says.
What did it really say?
Is that there is only one true Elohim.
It says, now one great true Elohim exists.
Because Elohim is the plurality of God.
Because Elohim, now the plural form of God.
And although there are three parts of God, there is still only one God. One
and
Elohim.
In left way, now three
hallelujah.
Parts inside God, now one
hallelujah.
God, and that's now Elohim.
Amen. Amen.
The number two is the number of witness.
Number two, it means witness.
Says in the mouth of two or three, that
says,
every word of God be established.
When two or three persons
hallelujah.
Talk something, the same thing, when I'm inside God, it's a matter of what they be established.
And when you have the number three,
number three,
you have the number of fullness or completeness.
Number three, it means to say when
hallelujah.
Something is complete.
Amen.
There are three entities or three aspects of God that we know that make up the Elohim.
We get three participants inside God where we know where make up the one God.
Amen.
God the Father.
We know say we get
God the Son.
Father,
God the Holy
Papa,
Spirit.
God the Son and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you look at yourself in the mirror,
when you look yourself in a looking glass,
all you see is your structural image.
When you look yourself in a looking glass, what do you see? You just see yourself number reality map.
But that image is made up of three distinct individual parts.
But that's yourself the way they see. When look at one person,
you are
divide into three.
You are spirit.
You not spirit.
You are soul.
You not soul.
You are body.
Then you not body.
Yes.
And if you get out into nature or get out into the aspects of this world that we live in.
And if you look inside nature and you look inside the things and inside this world.
Everything is divided up in threes to describe the completeness of what it is that is describing.
All what's in there now around me. It divides inside three parts so that you can understand.
Hallelujah.
When you talk, we talk about three when inside you, one.
When you talk about the heavenlies,
when you talk about
you're talking about the sun,
when you talk about
the moon,
you talk about the sun
and the stars.
The moon and the stars then.
And it will even go down to a tree that it has three basic components that make it what it is as a tree.
And if you even look the
hallelujah.
Thing, and you see that the tick get three things then where make it be tick.
Four.
Number four
is the number of tribulation.
Number four, il représente
Hallelujah.
Beaucoup de trouble.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Moses' life was divided up into three parts.
Moses' life has been divided into three parts.
Each part was 40 years.
Each part of Moses' life
has
been 40 years.
He was 40 years.
It be 40 years
in Egypt.
When inside Egypt, he said when in Egypt, he lived in Egypt.
He was 40 years on the backside of the desert.
It be there 40 years behind the
Hallelujah.
Wilderness.
And he was 40 years in leading the children of Israel to the promised land.
Then it takes 40 years for
Hallelujah.
Leading the Israelites them, for make them go to that land that God promised them.
So four is the number of tribulation.
So four, that the number of tribulation.
Five is the number of ministry.
Five. Now the number for ministry.
Hallelujah. Amen. Five is also the number of grace.
Five also it represents grace.
And the number for grace complements the number of ministry.
And when you talk about grace, it works together with ministry.
Because it is the grace of God that brings the fullness of the ministry that is needed for us to grow and develop in God.
Because the grace,
Hallelujah.
God is grace, now they help we, now they make we able for work and grow up for make we bring out the ministry where God wants for bring to a church.
And in Ephesians the fourth chapter,
Ephesians chapter 4.
You have the ministry that God has ordained to bring the church to a place of fullness or completeness.
When you look at Ephesians
Hallelujah.
Chapter 4, you can see say inside there, the ministry there, where God be put in place for bringing in church car to fullness.
Which has been labeled the fivefold ministry.
Where when you read that, it right there say, now the fivefold ministry.
Now let me make a little comment about that.
Make I talk small about that one day.
The fivefold ministry is not a position. It's not an office.
That fivefold ministry day, where the Bible refers to, not a position and not to any office.
And any of these ministries,
and any of their ministry, then they
make room for themselves, and we are the recipients of the beneficiaries of those ministries.
Their ministry,
Hallelujah.
God make room for them, and they make room for themselves. And when
Hallelujah.
We for just to receive the ministry, and not that they come from God.
So if I that means that I would not have a plaque on my office wall.
It means to say I'm not gonna get one post or one sign. Now my office domoto and my wall.
Saying that on such and such a day, at such and such a time, I was ordained.
For talk say this particular day and this particular time.
As an apostle so and so, or a prophet so and so, or a teacher so and so, or an evangelist so and so. Hallelujah.
Whatever you want for column, because not a title.
That is not an exaltation of the ministry. That is an exaltation of man.
When you do that, now you say you the ace up. You know they lift up the ministry where God they bring.
Hallelujah. The ministry that God gives an individual,
the ministry that God gives person,
is a ministry that will make room for itself, and its recognition of that ministry is evident and does not have to be broadcast.
The ministry where God put inside person. Now ministry where they just
Hallelujah.
Come out, you know, for itself. And you don't need to announce me a prophet. You don't need to announce me a pastor or me a apostle. The ministry, the calling in a ministry. Now see where God put inside you, where you just let out, where God ready for make use you for the one.
And those ministries, or the spirit of those ministries, should be in any and every fellowship that has the revelation of sonship.
And then things in there. Their ministry that day, they for always present, they for always they come out any side where the word of God comes.
Hallelujah.
Day.
The apostolic revelation, or the apostolic ministry,
the apostolic revelation or ministry
is a ministry that brings an understanding to the mysteries of God that are hidden in the Word.
That ministry there,
hallelujah.
For understand that things then where they inside God where we not serve.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And without that understanding, without that revelation, the church would be lost in the wilderness, wandering around in the desert.
And if that ministry is not there, if you don't exist in the church under the body of Christ, who say you there? It means to say the church, not the worker, with God. You lost. You know they're going to the direction of God. And that ministry then, like we brought about there also, and they bring the word of God to we. They open the CD with the Bible.
Hallelujah.
And make we understand.
Amen.
And it's the same with each one of the ministries.
And that is the same thing with all the different kind of ministry the way we talk about now. Yeah. The prophet, the teacher, the apostle. Now that's what they try for explain.
I know a young man.
I know one man.
I call him young man because he's younger than me.
And they call him a young man because not possibly young past me.
And he's a dear saint and a lovely person.
Nah, good person. That possibly get God in heart.
And unbeknownst to him, he has the evangelist calling on his life.
And apart from when a good person, we possibly get God in life, now possibly God bless with the evangelic ministry.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't know he's an evangelist.
He not even knows if he's an evangelist.
But everywhere he goes, he's evangelizing.
But anywhere he goes, he's
always talking to somebody about the Lord.
He talks to a person about God's business.
Always sharing a revelation of God that God has given him, a truth of life and salvation.
Where God we don't tell him. Something where God make you understand. He will tell other person as he meets you, he will tell you about him.
It's what he eats and what he breathes.
Now that's what he eats. What he eats and the word of God. What he
eats
and can't tell you back. Now what he God tell him.
And there are those that are teachers.
And some people learn the way.
They love to get down into the book.
They left
into
for
the word of God.
They get a
thought in their head.
They think about something.
And they begin to follow the trail of it through
and
the
they
scripture.
Begin to follow how that thing they come like the Bible.
And they begin to build an outline.
And they begin for find
Hallelujah.
Out what it mean. And how we go come out.
And when at some point in time the Spirit moves on them to
then,
share something of what they are finding.
Then as they try for find out all in Tiaso, then whatever goes away, the Holy Spirit, God will just move inside them.
They begin to lay it out on the board. They begin to make drawings and references to scriptures and begin to share the revelation of what they are hearing in the spirit.
They find out
Hallelujah.
They see that the Bible at that time. Then they begin for drum. You know, put that into drawing, not the blackboard. Then they check the scripture
and you're
for other children so that it will line up with what they understand as per what God has said to them.
Amen.
And you're sitting there and you're listening and you're in awe because it's so simple, it's so easy to understand.
And we see God, we they listen,
Hallelujah.
We they look to God, it's all simple so for make we understand them.
So, I want to go back to the tabernacle.
So I go back to the tabernacle.
The number six.
The number six.
Six is the number of man.
Six. It represents mortal man.
And when you have six, six, six.
And when you get six, six, six.
It is the fullness of man void of God.
It means to say you don't
without
of
God.
You not get no God inside you.
Hallelujah. No God inside of you. That's right.
No God inside you.
No God inside you. Hallelujah. None. You're completely devoid of it and you are filled with complete darkness.
So it means to say you don't come.
Hallelujah.
When God come out in your life. What is full of inside you now? That darkness.
I heard a testimony one time, what I'll share with you. because
testimony I will share with you now.
And because I know the individual who is sharing it, I have been working with him. I worked with him in the ministry for almost 40 some years.
I'm free for sharing with you now because I know the person who share the testimony. I don't work with this person for over 40 years.
Up until the time he passed in 2009.
I work with this person. He died.
He was from
2009.
He was from Jamaica.
Now, born in Jamaica.
He was of African and French descent.
Now, from Africa and French.
He got his anointing in 1948.
God be anointed. 1948 was the year
that Israel became a nation.
1948.
It was also the date of a great outpouring of the Spirit.
And that been the same day. God be poured in Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That great outpouring of your Spirit.
That was in 1901. That was before. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I don't know, have you heard of the Full Gospel Businessman?
Well, are there anybody Full Gospel Businessman then?
Have you heard of them? Well, the original group of men who started the Full Gospel Businessmen were a part of that 1948 revival.
Okay, so the original people and the people that will begin that Full Gospel.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that they participate, they be part of that 1948 revival.
And the revelation that was given to them, they turned away from it and formed and began the Full Gospel Businessmen.
And in that 10 days,
hallelujah,
the revelation where God give them, then decide for turn them back to them and do their own business.
Back to my testimony.
And I go back to my testimony.
This brother had an amazing gift that the Lord had given him in deliverance and in healing.
This brother, yeah, began a wonderful gift when God gave him.
And he had a very simple faith in God.
The gift where God gave him, now deliverance, where it will bring healing. It's very simple faith in believing
that God existed. God was a reality to him.
God exists and God is.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And one day, he wanted to know why people go to hell.
He wanted to know where to make people and they go to hell.
So he asked God to send him someone who had gone to hell.
So he asked God, say, may God send somebody to go away, don't go hell.
That night he had a visitation.
That next day, somebody came for him.
That same night he had a visitation. Somebody knocked on his door.
That next day, we asked God, say, what for maintenance, and God said, person, where don't go hell. Somebody came, come to the mouth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He opened the door.
He opened the door.
And there stood a man that he knew that had passed away several years before.
Where open the mouth?
Hallelujah.
You just see one man, maybe Sabi, we don't die long time.
But the brother knew what was going on.
But the man, you know, the post will be praised if you understand what is happening.
You guys probably find it pretty hard to believe, right? He invited the man to come in.
So what did he do? He called the man, said the man can't inside.
Asked him, well, do you want to sit down?
And
the man said, no.
He said, the man said no.
Because he was forced to have, he had been forced to come. He didn't want to be there.
Yes. The man not be glad. The one will come. He be first because definitely not be one for come. But God be forced for come.
And the brother, because of his compassion for humanity,
because of his sorry act for more
he time, said to the man,
he said, the man say,
I can pray for you right now.
I can pray for you right now.
And I know God will deliver you out of hell.
And I know, sir, if I pray for you right now,
and he believed
God will pull you come on to hell.
And I believe God would have done it.
And I believe, sir, God before do it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, I can deliver you from hell. All you have to do is to repent and accept the blood of Jesus Christ.
He said, I can pray for you, make God fully come on our hell. And all is what you get for do. Now for beg God, for tell God what you don't do. You see them and receive Jesus Christ in blood now your life.
Amen. And the man got into a rage.
And the man bad one.
And he began to curse.
And he began to cough the brother.
And he began to blaspheme the name of God.
And he began to talk bad in there.
And he said to the brother,
There is
only one reason I would ever go to heaven.
He said that only one great thing will make I go heaven.
And that would be to rip it up and to turn it into hell.
And the only thing will make me.
Hallelujah!
When I went in that diamond, say, he said I will just go heaven, for God check, I will just go point the place and turn the place to hell.
When you talk about the darkness,
when we talk about darkness,
you're talking about an agent of malignant wickedness.
When we talk about darkness, when they talk about one agent, when they talk about forces,
hallelujah,
or something of spirit, we get wickedness.
The best example that I have in the natural arena of darkness is like cancer.
The best example I will do now concerning darkness, that kind of wicked darkness, cancer, that's the way they call cancer.
I think we're all afraid of the word cancer, aren't we?
I believe that we all afraid that word is. When they talk about cancer,
you got a pain somewhere in your body.
You, when you feel pain somewhere in your body,
and you go to the doctor.
You go to a doctor.
The doctor does an examination.
The doctor examines you.
Takes X-rays.
Sorry?
Takes X-rays.
You go for X-ray.
And he says,
then he say,
you have cancer.
You get cancer.
It's like a death sentence.
It's like when they sentence you to death. Instead of what they tell you, say you will die tomorrow.
And you know the most hideous thing about cancer?
And you know what's the bad thing about cancer?
It lives in your body. And it assumes the appearance of a normal functioning thing in your body.
And it's there inside your body.
So that your immune system does not recognize it.
So that the thing where God put you, where for recognize it.
Hallelujah.
So see bad inside you.
And all the time, it's eating off of your body.
So it hides inside you.
And it's growing bigger and bigger.
Then it eat you inside. At the same time, it grow because it feeds.
Like a parasite. And eventually kills the host in which it is living.
Then the same way go hide inside you. It eat and so say it kill that thing there inside you.
That is
so when you kill that
darkness.
Thing there inside you, you know the function, the way you function at the end of the day, that die, the person they die.
That is darkness.
That's not darkness.
It's malignant darkness.
Now, what darkness?
What is darkness?
What's in a darkness?
Darkness is worldliness.
Darkness. Nah. Worldliness.
We are born in the world.
We born inside this world.
And when we are born again,
then when we receive the blood of Jesus, we become born again.
We are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light.
With a change.
Hallelujah.
From the kingdom of darkness. With a go inside, with a begin walk in the light of God, when at the kingdom of light.
But there is a little problem.
But one small problem, Dave.
We are not delivered from the root of darkness that is inside of us.
When we receive the blood of Jesus, with a change. We they begin, we they try to live the life of God. But one small problem there. That problem there, it means to say, the thing where they inside me, it not change it.
So we have light and darkness inside the same vessel.
So it means to say, we don't receive light.
Hallelujah.
We still keep one darkness inside. We want me to say, you get light and darkness in the same place.
You and I are comprised up of three segments that make us human beings.
You and me, we make up of three things, three different persons, where they make one person.
We are spirit.
We are spirit.
That one's not working. We are spirit.
We are spirit.
We are soul.
We get soul.
And we are body.
Then we get body.
Hallelujah. And we are born in a body that is compatible to the world that of which we are born into.
And we spirit, we born inside this world, and we born like the place where it just started, like the world where we live inside.
Hallelujah. I had mentioned it earlier. I feel to mention it again. I'm kind of going back over some of the issues that we have been talking about over the last week and a half.
I've been not talking about them before.
But that's what the Lord is leading.
But I'm back again.
But that's where the Lord is leading me. Hallelujah. There are principles, are rules of warfare that God has given that limit the devil's and our exposure to him.
I want to explain this thing back. We now spirit, we get soul, and we live inside this body.
No. We got soul. We get spirit and live inside body.
Okay. So the order. Okay. We na soul. Oh yes. We na soul. We get spirit. Then we dey live inside the body. Then this body where we dey live inside, and then na this world. And the body, they work with the world.
Okay. Just keep that thought. I'm going to jump back over here.
Just keep this fire so that I come back now.
God had a plan.
God had a plan.
In the very beginning, in Genesis 1:26.
From the beginning, if we go to Genesis 1:26.
He wanted to make man in his own image.
God planned that for make man look like him.
He not only wanted to make man in his own image.
And not want for make man people no more.
But he also wanted to make man in his likeness.
He want for make man look like insect.
If you go look at the word likeness, it means to be the same as.
If you go check what in that word they mean, likeness mean that for make we be. Just like God.
So God wanted to share his position of godness with an entity that would be called man.
So what did God be the guy for do? He want for make, he want for share in godness, in heavenliness with mortal man.
John chapter 17. 21, 22, somewhere around there, maybe 23.
From verse 21 to 23, thereabout.
That they may be what?
That scripture they say, so that they go be one.
That they may be one.
For me, we be one.
How are they going to be one?
How they will be one?
What would be the condition of that oneness?
What will be the condition for me to be one?
Even as we, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one.
Even as we, the Papa, the Son and the Holy Spirit, then are one.
So shall they also be one in us.
So, now so I want for me them be
hallelujah.
One inside we.
Hallelujah. That is a New Testament confirmation to the Old Testament promise concerning man that God wanted to make.
That one day, now what did the New Testament just confirm?
Hallelujah.
The Old Testament be said concerning God's plan for man.
Hallelujah. So God wanted to make man in a peculiar, particular way that was different from any other species or thing that he made.
So God, a plan from the beginning,
he had
to make mortal man, but make him be special, and make him be completely different from all the other things then,
when
he was in this world.
When we talk about the image of God,
when we talk about the image of God,
God had to make him in such a way that when you look at yourself, you would understand the composition of God.
And me to say, God left you in a way that when you look yourself, you can understand how God turns.
How do you relate to a spirit?
How you relate to a spirit?
I can't relate to a spirit. It's kind of vaporizing. You know what I mean?
I don't able to relate to a spirit.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't understand. It's not like you're go.
So God had to make an entity. He had to make something mechanical.
So God therefore make something
that would show the qualities of the aspect of who he is in that respect. Hallelujah.
We're going to show how himself turns.
The Bible says God sees.
The Bible tells me say God they see.
He gave you eyes.
He gave me the eyes.
He says God hears.
He said God they hear me.
He gave you ears.
He gave me ears.
Hallelujah. It says God speaks.
It said God they talk.
So God didn't just give you the mouth.
So God
or the eyes.
Or
the ears. He gave you all of the apparatus that make them function and work together.
And not just give me mouth.
Hallelujah.
He put all what in there inside there. All what we need for make them
hallelujah.
Function the way where they function.
Hallelujah.
Already for make ears hear, for make monster, and for make eyes see. He put her inside it.
The Bible says that God walks.
The Bible tells me say God the worker.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God gave you legs.
So he gave me foot.
A skeletal structure.
He gave me foot then.
And feet.
He gave me
hallelujah.
Foot
so you could understand and comprehend the magnitude of God in a physical way, in a physical form.
So that we can understand.
Hallelujah.
Physically.
The Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully what? Made.
The Bible tells me say God created me in a very wonderful way.
Oh, very wonderful way. In a fantastic way.
It makes me in
hallelujah.
A fantastic way.
In fact, in a prophetic way.
In fact, he said God make we in a prophetic way.
And that image you see in the mirror should be prophesying to you of your capability to be like God.
Hallelujah. Amen. And when you see my front looking glass, when you see yourself, and when you imagine say God get all anything and day, when you get so, you for begin imagine and know say you able for be like God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You look in the mirror.
When you look now,
instead of looking to see how pretty or how handsome you are,
you then look for see how you fine or how you
make sure your hair is fixed just right.
You then fix you are fine.
And your tie or your suit is on in the
right manner.
Right manner. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You should be saying, I have eyes.
You for the talk say, I get eyes.
I have eyes because God sees.
If I remember say and talk say again, yeah.
And I look into those eyes. I say, God, teach me to see how you see.
And I'm not just get yeah, but God, they teach me to see like way in the sea.
And I have ears.
And I get ears.
I may not like my ears, but I have ears.
It's possible say I don't like the way my ears.
Come on. You know, you look in the mirror and there are certain features you say, well, I wish that could be better or something could be
you
better.
You know, sometimes you look like glass, you look yourself.
No matter how the configuration is, but it is a representation of prophetic word concerning God.
It no matter
peace.
How you face stand.
It hallelujah.
No matter for you. Remember, say, what did God put for you? Now, what did God want you for be? And now, what did they for God?
Unfortunately, that is not what happens when we look in the mirror.
Unfortunately, when we look in a glass, we know they appreciate at that wedding.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We spend so much time and energy trying to look handsome or trying to look pretty.
We spend for good time, we waste them.
Hallelujah.
So that when you come out, you go, say, you don't make you say, now you look fine.
I want to read a scripture to you concerning that.
I want to read one scripture where you go tell me for that.
And it's in Romans.
And then Romans.
And it's in the first chapter.
Romans chapter 1.
I want to go to, I'll start at the, I will start at the 16th verse.
We'll read Romans chapter 1 from verse 16.
Basically, the image that you see is a proclamation of the divine favor that God has given you to represent Him, to manifest Him.
Wait, my phone glass.
Hallelujah.
Sin and the glass of yourself. Now, what did God mean for me?
Hallelujah.
I show you God in divine self.
For I am not ashamed of, I'm in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
It said, for I'm not ashamed.
Just stop right there when you get
I'm not ashamed for God in what?
For God's, the gospel of Christ.
I'm not ashamed for the gospel of Christ.
It's not the gospel of salvation.
Not the gospel,
not the gospel of baptism. Gospel.
Not just baptism gospel.
It is the gospel of Christ.
That the gospel of
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Christ encompasses everything that we have in the church as far as salvation, baptism, change, and whatever else may be in that arena.
Inside
Hallelujah.
Christ, all things they did. When you talk about baptism, you talk about salvation, anything you talk about inside the church, it is inside Christ.
So he is dealing with the issue of being in a place. Whoops, I just hit this thing. I just hit that, I'm sorry. He is dealing with the issue of what it is that God had in his mind in the very beginning when he created man.
So,
Hallelujah.
The gospel of Christ, it is talked
about. Hallelujah.
God began in mind from the beginning of creation. When God gets in mind concerning man.
Hallelujah. Amen. When he said, let us make man.
When God said, make we make
he
mortal
said,
man.
He was saying, let us make man slash Christ.
Even the talk says,
Hallelujah.
Let us make man slash Christ.
Slash Christ.
Even the talk says, let us make man and Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ in you is your hope of glory.
Christ inside you. Now you hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ in you is the vehicle that takes you from the humanity of the world to the position of man in Christ in one entity and in oneness with each other.
Christ in you.
Hallelujah.
Now the vehicle where God they use. Now the vehicle where they move you from one place to the other.
And let me tell you something else about it. If I may. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not all the same. Like you take a cookie cutter and you go pink, 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 pink.
Christ in you. Now the vehicle where God they use for move you from one state inside Christ to the other. And not all the same.
Every individual.
All man.
Who has Christ in them.
Will get Christ inside him.
Has a particular personality concerning that Christ that is in them.
in any man or any
hallelujah
body, you make Christ inside him.
So
he in something special, something particular, but that Christ say within inside him.
So it is not that you just become another clog in the machine.
You know me to say you just a car, you just a
but the personality that you have. And the nature of that personality is very distinct and very much you.
What do you mean? Now that Christ when they inside you, it gets something very special when they come out, as the Christ in person when live inside you.
But that you is not that you that is you is not infatuated with his own you-ness.
Please, can you say it again?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I have to translate, right? The Christ in you.
Christ inside you.
The only thing that, the one thing that is really peculiar about it is not enamored with itself. It's not in love with itself.
The Christ, whether inside you, the thing is special.
Hallelujah.
Very peculiar, it's very different, Father.
Hallelujah.
And you know, that is said so much.
As I said earlier,
like I've been said before,
there is an Alpha for everyone.
Alpha there for everybody.
And there is an Omega for everyone.
And Omega there for all man.
Hallelujah. And that Alpha and Omega is Christ.
And the Alpha and Omega.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Paul
said to one of the churches, I travail again in birth.
He talked to one of them churches.
Hallelujah.
He said they travail in birth.
Hallelujah. I travail again in birth that Christ be formed in you.
For make Christ born inside you. For make you get Christ inside you. Travel and a poor woman the body pain where they suffer.
So the journey is from man through the tabernacle to become man / Christ.
So this journey also.
Hallelujah.
Man to the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
To become man / Christ.
Hallelujah. The object of that, the object and the motive of what was in God's heart in the beginning when he created this thing.
What in the God in heart when he made this thing?
Was to deal with the darkness.
That before make he deal with the darkness.
God wanted to eradicate the darkness.
God wants to erase all the darkness.
And God had to do something to eradicate the darkness before God could now do something else that he wanted to do that would include man.
And God began to do something for pull that darkness there, for make he go able for do what he want for do for bring mankind inside.
Hallelujah. Have you read, are you familiar with the spirit, the word in Jeremiah, I think it's 17 or somewhere in there, that it has not entered into the mind of man.
You know that word written in Jeremiah?
What?
It says, it not enter inside mortal man in mind yet.
What God has prepared for him has not entered into his mind.
Man not even for think step yet. But that
hallelujah.
Is where God don't prepare for him.
So I cannot believe that this Omega is the finish of the finish of the finish.
I don't believe say this Omega.
Hallelujah.
That the finish that it don't.
Hallelujah.
I don't believe say the Omega don't.
I believe that this Omega is the finish of the first level or the first stage before God takes us up into another level. Another stage of development.
So I believe, say,
oh, hallelujah.
Now the end of the first stage. For may God now take me go to the other stage.
I want to go back to Romans 1.
I want to go back now, Romans chapter 1.
So, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
So, we're not ashamed for the gospel of Christ.
For it is the power
power
of God unto salvation,
because that is power, he said that is power
to everyone that believeth.
To anyone.
Hallelujah.
Believer.
What are we supposed to believe in?
Waiting for belief, man.
We are to believe in the identity of Christ.
We for believe inside the identity of Christ.
As it relates to mortal man.
Let how we feel by mortal man.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Don't that come. He's talking about you.
He didn't talk about you.
Amen.
Are you satisfied with what you have in the natural arena of the world?
You satisfied with what you get naturally?
Hallelujah.
That is holier.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why would we be satisfied with this low bite?
What make we go satisfied with any low things they are? We don't mean nothing.
If I can feed off of the food and energy of God.
If I can able for
this.
What is the food, the
top,
and the power inside God? What make our God just satisfied?
Hallelujah.
Then no sense, nothing here.
There was a man called, what was his name? Oh boy. He was an evangelist back in the 1930s and 40s. Oh, what was his name?
One man been there when I be evangelist during the 1930s, 1940s.
He went to bed one night.
He go sleep one night.
Had a dream.
He get one dream.
And in the dream he was in Russia.
In that way, that inside that dream day.
And he was ministering to Russia. He was ministering to people in the area, and then going to another area ministering, and then another area ministering.
Inside the dream, it's how they say this man is travel go Russia, and he come out from one place to the other.
Hallelujah.
The disciple that he was.
I have his testimony. I got it off the internet.
I get his testimony. A friend
I had. I had heard about it, so I went on the internet to find it.
I don't hear any water, so I go on the internet for.
I wanted to read it for myself.
I do read that for myself.
His name will come to me eventually.
What I mean by name, I go tell him that it will come.
And he woke up in the morning.
He wake in the morning.
And he went to get his suit out of the closet. It was a white suit.
He go for go take his suit na the go.
And he noticed that on the cuff on the inside there was this red dirt stain.
He noticed say inside in trousers one red dirty bin there stain.
And he did not know where it came from.
And he not know who said that or to stay there become
up. He took it to the cleaners, to several different places. Nobody could get that red stain out of his pants.
No side not been able to clean.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one day he actually went to Russia.
One day, in reality, now go Russia.
And there was a group of men who met him as he came in to the airport and was coming out of the airport.
Some people let me there, we go meet him.
Hallelujah.
As he come out at the airport.
And they were all rejoicing and smiling at him.
They all been there glad and they laughed.
And they were all shaking his hand and said, "We're so glad to see you again."
He said they said, "We're so glad to see you back."
And he's saying, "What?"
The man said, "Waiting?
I've never been here."
I know what you say.
And they begin to share with him how the different works in the different places were progressing.
And then begin to tell him how the different side of where
you go.
How things they progress.
So he happened
how
to
go before.
He happened to bring that white suit.
He be happy said during that travel, he carried
so
the white suit.
At some point in time, he pulled it out and he brought it to me. He said, "I have this red stain on my suit, and I'm wondering if you know how to get it out."
So one time day, when he pulled this in white suit, and they tell the people, "I say, hey, this one, I get this stain, and it goes this. I wonder if you get away from it for
everything." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And And they said, oh, sure, that's easy. That comes from the dirt here out in this particular region that we have been to before.
And then they tell us, that day is very easy. Because this dirt when it was easy.
Hallelujah.
Where you did not go before.
Hallelujah. And they took the suit and they removed the stain.
And they take the suit, then go
hallelujah. Brethren, if we can only believe.
If we can only believe.
Peter was in prison.
Peter
he was in prison. And he was I don't know what he was doing, but I suppose he probably was Peter.
He's been in a jail.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what he
may
do, but I believe
say in a Peter. Hallelujah. But the brethren were praying.
But in brethren they pray.
And all of a sudden an angel comes in.
And say, why all of a sudden? One angel came inside.
And it says the angel smacked him with a sword.
It said the
smacked
angel
him with a sword.
Knock him with sword.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And told him to get up. And when he got up, he saw his clothes freshly laundered, sitting there on the bench.
He said, he wake him. He said, clap. He said, when he clap, he see in clothes. Nicely washed.
They must have taken the clothes away from him. Hallelujah. Not only did he have the clothes, but they were freshly laundered.
And not only say, when you work, you see clothes, they be just washed them.
I guess you would call that a heavenly laundromat.
And that's what I would call
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he really, he found himself outside. He went to the brethren and knocked.
And really, he finally said, he realized he don't come on that.
Just imagine. You're locked away in your house there because they're looking for you.
Just imagine, say, you lock inside your house. Then and they look for you.
And you're probably, and they have taken Peter, and now they're going to come and take you if they possibly can get you.
And they not take Peter, then they will come and take you.
And they're in there praying that Peter will be loosed.
And you then I joined and the Peter.
He comes to your door and he knocks, and the maid looks, and then he shuts the door and runs back in the house.
Then he can't like the mouth, he knock. Then the maid can look, he lock the mouth back, he won't go.
I wouldn't call that the paramount of faith.
I don't call that. Really faith.
But in spite of that, God moved.
But in spite of that one day.
Hallelujah. How did he get from the prison out on the sidewalk?
How he managed to come on inside that jail? Yes. So today he go not eat.
Oh my goodness. And I don't know, he had to do it incrementally, I think. I don't know if Peter could have taken the total thing at one time.
I don't know if Peter before.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why is it in the Bible? Why is it recorded? Why was it preserved? Because God wants you to understand your potential.
Amen. Because God wants to know what you able to do, what you can do.
God wants you to
make you know.
God wants you to understand the total capability that you have.
He wants to make you understand
how
much you can do.
Is outside the scope of your imagination.
You're not going to even able to think of what you're able to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans. I'm still trying to get there.
So, let's go back to Romans.
Hallelujah. I was in 16.
Romans chapter 1 verse 16.
So, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. No, and not as it was by one that sinned. Verse 16. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. My pages slipped. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Hallelujah.
To man forget salvation. It said not only to the Jews. It is to the Jews first and also to the Greeks.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen. For when you receive that power there, it says God will reveal himself unto you.
Hallelujah.
And as you believe, Amen. It says the righteous man then. Then they believe in God. Then
Hallelujah.
They believe by faith.
Amen.
I think you could also translate that.
You can also interpret that for me.
In that the just shall live by believing in the impossible potentiality that we have in Christ.
It means to say the just.
Hallelujah.
The righteous one then. Then he able for believe. Waiting,
Hallelujah.
Inside
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
For God, the way God will please. We don't want them to go, we don't know the truth. But then they do.
Hallelujah.
You know, God, they show we how he feels about them and what he will do towards that kind of thing.
Hallelujah. Now, brethren, he's not talking about men who have a word of revelation or a word of truth and they're out there in the world sinning.
And not that God, not that talk, but that one that we don't get this revelation, what we get to.
He's talking about a company of people who are having a revelation, an understanding of the plans and purposes of God.
And they talk about people then. We get
a
revelation. We know what's the plan and the purpose of God, like me and you, as I have right now.
They can reiterate it. They can prophesy it. They can preach it.
Then he listen to them, then he talk about them, then he ask them, then he teach them.
But they do not allow the revelation that they have to change their lives.
But with all that, they not they allow, they not agree for make that revelation, they that one day.
Hallelujah.
Then your life.
And even in the respect to as to a natural application of their own personal being.
So they know they apply
Hallelujah.
To themselves. They
Hallelujah.
Never do as I say, don't do as
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Do as I say.
Don't do as I say.
Then they teach one thing.
Okay.
They talk one thing. Then they do another thing.
Yes. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifested in them.
Because,
what is the first part of it?
I'm sorry?
What is the first line of it so that we get it in the context?
That's the 18th verse which we just said. It says the wrath of God is manifest, is revealed from heaven to all ungodliness and the unrighteous of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested within them.
So what is
Hallelujah.
But God is there inside me.
It means that when I look in the mirror,
what did that go mean?
I am being reminded of the plans and purposes of God.
God remember me, but what did I plan and purpose?
And those plans and purposes include me.
And that plan and purpose there of God.
And it reminds me of the necessity that I have to conform to that plan.
And it remember me say,
Hallelujah.
I therefore do waiting that plan day.
Hallelujah.
And we get God, where God get for me. or I therefore walk this world na me life.
Okay, for God, it says, because of that which made me known of God is manifested, for God has showed it unto them.
Because God, it don't show to una. It don't show to me.
For the invisible things of Him,
for the thing
from the creation of the world,
the thing them, are, normally we not see from the creation of the world,
are clearly seen.
Now, it all the shuan to me, bang bow the with a sea.
And being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power in Godhead, so that they will be without excuse.
God, the two way God they do not, it make them very clear to me for make me understand. All thing will go imagine says until it be
hallelujah.
Where the world will begin, where God the creator. Now God the maker open and clear for make we understand them so that we know we'll get excused.
What does that mean? Let's translate it.
What in that one they mean?
It means when I look at a tree.
It means to say where I look one tick.
I should be reminded that the Bible refers to men, humankind, as trees of righteousness.
Amen to say, where I look now, do I
hallelujah.
I remember myself say, God refer to me as
hallelujah
of righteousness.
Do you remember the story of the blind man?
Do you remember the story of that man may be blind?
The man that God healed too much, too good?
The man may God be healed. 551.
Too much. He healed him too much.
Too much.
Hallelujah. The blind man came to him.
The blind man, he came to God.
And the blind man, he asked him, what do you want?
He asked him, what do you want? What do you want?
It was obvious the man was blind. Why did God ask him? Why did he ask him? What do you want? Because he wanted to make a point and a reference point for you and I.
Because he wants to make we understand.
Not
he wants to make me and you make reference to that mandate.
That you are given eyes not just for a natural purpose, but you are also given eyes for a spiritual reason.
Amen. So that we remember that.
Hallelujah.
You can understand, say, the Yahweh give me, where God give me. Not for just see natural deal. It gets spiritual reason for me to give me the idea.
If I am going to be held responsible for looking at creation and being able to discern the plan of God in it, I have to be able to see.
Hallelujah. For look creation and see God the plan inside creation.
See beyond.
Me to say, I'm able for see.
See beyond the natural thing.
Look the things then and
hallelujah.
See beyond the natural.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amagatara. And so God granted him his wish.
So
prayed for him.
When God asked the man, the man answered, "Say, what for see?" So God,
he really healed this man's eyes. Really, really, really
God
good.
God, hear what he wants. God, open eyes. He really opened eyes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many blind men did Jesus heal?
Almost blind man did Jesus heal.
There was a lot of them.
There were many.
But this was the only man he asked what he could see.
But now this man, now the only man, when we ask, say, what thing you they see?
Why did he ask him what he could see? Because he wanted to make a point.
Why did he ask him?
Hallelujah.
Because he wants to make a point.
That he gives us eyes, not just to see in the natural, but he gives us eyes to see in the spirit.
It will for make we understand, say, in QBI, not for just for see natural.
Hallelujah.
That for make we also see in the spirit.
It's one thing to see, it's another thing to discern what it is you are seeing.
Now one thing they
hallelujah
for seeing, for just seeing number one thing. The other thing that will make you able to understand, wait till you see.
And the man had both of them.
And God
sight
blessed him
and understanding.
With the two things. He open eye and he make he understand.
Because he said, I see men.
Because the man say, I see men
as trees man, walking.
I see them, let's keep them where they walk at.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
God had to bring him down.
God began for bring him down.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a spiritual representation.
So,
and a realm of spirituality around us that we have to be aware of.
So we get spiritual representation, and something in the way that spiritual operation, the way we get for nobody.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to go back over into Romans 8.
I want to go to Romans chapter 8.
And I want to deal with the aspect of light and darkness being mixed together.
And I want to talk about light and darkness where they mix up together.
And show you.
And show now.
The consequences of it.
And show now what in that today they be.
Romans 8.
Romans chapter 8.
8, by the way, is the number of new beginnings.
8, it means new beginning.
And this chapter is dealing with humankind coming into a relationship with God as sons.
And this chapter, and you talk about mortal man in carnal mind,
so
for where God is dealing with that, for making become sons of God.
So you are graduating out of the humanity realm into the human divine realm.
So you graduate.
Hallelujah.
Out of the humanity realm, the carnal business, into the divine nature of God.
The righteousness of the law.
The righteousness of
might be fulfilled in us. Well, no, let me start at verse 3. I want to go back up, sorry. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned or judged and put a death sentence upon it.
For waiting.
Hallelujah. Verse 3.
For waiting the law not able for do, because mortal man the flesh weak, he said God send his son for make a kingdom like a mortal man, for can't condemn sin.
This word condemned, can you click on it a minute, please? I want to see if I have the right understanding of it. Condemned. Yes. Katakrino. Hallelujah. Katakrino is not only to judge it as being right or wrong.
Katakrino, if it condemned. Not only for make a judge seal for me, if it's right or wrong.
And if it is judged as wrong, it also includes a sentence that is pronounced and passed upon it.
And that's in the
hallelujah.
If when they pass judgment by the sin, if the judge says the judgment,
hallelujah.
If it's wrong, it will go with punishment.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the position or the place of being in the flesh is a position or a place of right, of being under the authority of that type of condemnation.
So, if you
then hallelujah,
when you live a sinful life,
hallelujah,
live in the flesh, then you do kind of business.
Verse 5,
you don't under that condemnation day of sin, judgment, where they bring punishment.
Verse 4. For the righteousness of the law might, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. So that judgment day is going to come upon the
Hallelujah.
Sin, upon that sin day, or the act of sin when they commit.
Hallelujah.
So that God in your righteousness will come forth.
For they that are after the flesh do mind, your mind, mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things that are the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God has judged sin because he wants to make righteousness come forth. So the judgment of sin, they come with some repercussions, some payment, or when a punishment or because of for the sin when you commit. Then they do that so that he said the people then wear the mind things of the flesh. People that were just care for satisfying their flesh. What is their flesh want? What is their mind want? Carnality. They say that they live after the flesh. But they want them, we care about God in business. They go do what God say.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Carnal mind.
If you mind just deepen sinful things, then can that business anything way not of God in business when I sin, he say that darkness, not death.
For those of you here,
it's not just sin. It's just minding the things of the world. It will not necessarily be sin as man calls sin. When you're not doing the will of God, you're just keeping yourself occupied with the things of this world. What to eat, what to drink, what to put on. That's all your mind is focused on. It may not be that you're committing fornication, you're telling lies.
Okay. We see just to give the details. We say, not only for sin. Sometimes you just always you pay attention to. Now anything we not of God. Anything we not of God. Anything where you just care about yourself no more. What you go eat, what you go drink, what you go wear. You know, anything where they please God. It means you there in Canada. Anything where you please yourself no more. And the thing that they around you. That carnality.
Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be made subject to it.
Okay, so all that kind of action, their behavior, their orienting, now worldliness, now worldliness. So we not for pay attention to that. It's because there is an enmity to God. Not to God in way. The opposite of what God they talk to be for you.
I want to read one more verse.
I want to read one more verse.
Robert, can we read that verse 8?
Yes, we can read it. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
So verse 8.
Okay, so what did the scripture say? The carnal mind.
Verse 8.
I've read it.
Verse 8.
No, I just said, you said, so then they that are of the flesh cannot
die for
the flesh. That's
what I want to explain.
So, this is just a point set for verse 8. So if we live that kind of life, what we just explained, so the carnal mind, the life of the carnal mind, the life of worldliness, we not go able for please God.
Amen.
All right, I want to go to James.
I want to go to the book of James.
James is addressing a spirit-filled apostolic revelatory church.
James, they talk to a church where it believes in a spirit-filled church.
They have the revelation of sonship.
They get the revelation of sonship.
But my goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to start at verse 4.
I want to begin at verse 4.
Ye adulterers and adulteress, Know ye not that friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, una we don't manage, but una man or woman, we don't manage when they go out, not to people man and people wife them.
No.
The natural application of adultery is that they are looking at the things of the world, putting them in place of those things that are of the Lord and of the calling and the election that is upon their life. They're giving more attention to the business of the world than to the business of God. That is what they are doing.
So the meaning of the scripture now, adulterers and adulteresses, it means to say, we pay attention to more of the things of the world than to the things of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am just outlining for you the way that God looks at you and I concerning the revelation that we have and the aspect of what it is that we are doing with it, and what it is or is not producing.
I just explained to now, waiting at the revelation of the way where God is bring to me. Waiting with able for bring forth, or waiting not able for bring forth, and waiting God they tell me for me.
You and I have to assess how to apply it to our lives.
Me and how you make an assessment of how to put this word in my life,
and how it will best work to the benefit of God's purposes and plans for us in this environment.
And how best it will
work
for God in purpose and plan for the life that I so outside within.
And I'm going to close with verse 7.
And I will close with verse 7.
Submit yourselves therefore to God.
Do yourself to God.
Resist the devil, and he will flee near you.
Amen.
Not grieve for waiting the devil they say, so that the devil go run away from you.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
And God will come close to you.
Cleanse your heart, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Cleanse your heart, ye sinners.
Hallelujah.
And purify your heart then. With them, purify your heart, you will get double mind.
You know, brethren, we have to make a decision on which side of the curtain or the door we want to be at the end of the day.
We get to make a decision. We get to choose
Hallelujah.
Which side we want for day.
Are we going to be on the side with God or the side of the world?
We get for day now God inside, or we get for day now the world.
You can't have both of them.
You're not going to get them two at the same time.
And God looks at it very, very, very seriously.
And God, they take them very seriously.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.